Bless you, Jay. Amen. If you got your Bibles, I want you to go to a portion of Scripture that I've been dealing with predominantly on Sunday night. But I wanted to save the last sermon for Sunday morning, because everyone needs to hear what I'm preaching this morning. I'm preaching on a series entitled Dr. Jesus. He can fix anything's wrong. He can heal any hurt. He's the hope for us all. Dr. Jesus and his prescription for anxiety. I'd like for those that's online, if you would, to share the service this morning, because I want everyone to hear it that can. Some of you that's in the service, right after the service, you share the service, because I want folks to hear those two songs, especially if they don't hear my preaching, hear those two great or four great songs that we're saying today. But if you got your Bible, wave them at me. I want to see Bibles. I like seeing Bibles. Amen. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Amen. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number 25 down through verse 34. I'll try to conclude this series this morning. I believe the most important part is this morning. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. It is not the life, is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather in the barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not, boy, listen to this, are you not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, or anxiety, or worry, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which is today, day is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewith shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. Now notice the key verse for today. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Our Father, help this preacher as I preach this morning. I know it's timely. I know that our world is filled with anxiety. And I pray, God, that you help us in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. When I talk about anxiety, I'm talking about unease. I'm talking about an uncertainty of an outcome. I'm talking about a feeling of discomfort. Have you ever felt like this? That there was a cloud hanging over your head. Come on now. Yeah, I am. And I'm going to get to really preach it in a minute. I want you to know something. We're living in a world that is anxious. When we think about this country, have you ever seen America so anxious? Listen, let's just be honest with you. Let me tell it like it is. This country is standing on a precipice. We're getting ready to make a decision. And I know there's so many people anxious about the election. I want to give you some good news. Whoever gets in, it will not take God by surprise. And it will be His will. And I want you to know, if the socialist gets in, all I'm going to do on November the 4th is say this, even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly. Because I'm not sure He might not come quickly. Somebody help me preach. But our country is anxious. And if you watch that debate, I didn't watch it live because I didn't want to get mad. You saw two views for this country. And then this pandemic has caused so much fatigue and so much anxiety. I mean, we wake up, we're coming to church. And by the way, I caution you, let's not drop our guard. We have not had one outbreak in the church. This virus hasn't spread once, so let's just keep doing what we're doing. But it's tiring. It causes anxiety. But I want you to have, I want all of you to get this. I got a God that's greater than a virus. I got a God that's greater than anything we're going through. Somebody help me preach. And then I see such an anxiety in our churches. An unease. I'm going to tell you what's happening. Now, whether y'all want to hear this or not, and I hope I get to my message, but I'm going to hit this. You know what has happened? A lot of us have let this pandemic take the edge off us spiritually. We come in church not thinking about worship. We come in church hoping that we can evade a virus. It's time. Hey, we need revival in the church house. We need to know that we're children of God. And God, Dr. Jesus is going to take care of His church. Because there's nobody He says this about. He said the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. He didn't say that about the PTA. He didn't say that about the Democrats and Republicans. He said that about the church. Then I want to say there's a great unease in the homes today. There's more, I believe right now, there's more pressure on the family than there's ever been before. You say, preacher, what are we going to do this morning? Where are we going to turn this morning? I'll tell you where you're going to turn and where you need to turn. You need to turn to Dr. Jesus. Now, I'm not going to re-preach my first 3 points or 2 points and a half, but I am going to mention them. See, God's not a respecter of persons. Red and yellow, black and white, everybody is precious in His sight. It's not that your name's Smith or whatever it is. He's not a respecter of persons. He's a respecter of what you are, your character, and what you believe. He is a respecter of principles. So I've said, and for those that haven't been here on Sunday night, I'll catch you up quickly. You're going to get His prescription? Number one, you decide not to worry. Verse 25. That's what it said. Take no thought for your life. How many believe you would be in a lot better shape this morning if you would have decided before you came to church or before you go out that you just ain't going to worry? Because whether I want to say this, and by the way, I deal with this. I guess it's my thorn in the side. I deal with it. Whether you like it or not, it's something that gnaws at us. It eats at us. But you know what? We just got to make an intellectual, a scriptural, and spiritual decision. I'm not going to worry. You said that's impossible. Well, then if it's impossible, why did Jesus just tell you to do it? If it's so impossible and you can't do it, why did He just say, do it? Somebody help me preach. See, we need to acknowledge the facts, appropriate faith, and adjust our focus. Then secondly, not only do we decide not to worry, but we discern God's works. First of all, His care for the creation. Now, how many believe Dr. Jesus never lost a case?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. His concern for creation. If He was concerned for the birds, and He is concerned for the flowers, and He's concerned for the grass,
yep. Amen, preacher.
How much more is He concerned for you?
Praise God.
Somebody help me preach this morning. See, I'm talking about a doctor that's never lost his case. I'm talking about a doctor that has care for his creation. I'm talking about a doctor that considers his children. He said, how much better are they? You. You're his chief creation. His control over our circumstances. How many of y'all believe he has everything under control? I'm hurrying. I'm hurrying. Verse 32, I closed last week, and I'm only going to hit this a minute. But I want you to look at it. For after all these things, do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. Number three, well, let's get this. Distinguish yourself from the world. How many believe that Christians shouldn't fret and shouldn't be depressed and shouldn't doubt, because that's what the heathen do? Somebody help me preach. You know what I have noticed in the church of the living God? We're acting more like heathen than ever before. I mean, we're taking on their philosophies. Hello.
Amen.
We need to start caring about what really counts.
Amen.
Boy, when you sing that song. America this year will kill 1.3 million babies. In the USA. And you know what? Boy, I know some of you can say, I probably wish you wouldn't say this. There's some of us, not me, are going to vote for somebody that promotes killing babies. And you say you're a Christian. And I don't doubt you are. Hey, there's some of us that are going to vote for a homosexual agenda. See, you know why? I just got to give you this real quick. You know why? Because we have been engulfed with human philosophy. And we don't make decisions by thus saith the Lord. No, we make decisions on thus saith what the world. Let's go with the trends of the world. Let's go with how the world's thinking. Let's make money how the world's thinking. Let's do this because the world's thinking. Let's act like this because the world. Ladies and gentlemen, you're saved. You're a child of God. You should not be a worldly person. He delivered you from the world. We are different. Our body's a temple of the Holy Ghost. Well, now act like the worldly people. You say, how you think folks are acting like worldly people? Well, you dress like them. And I'm not one of them guys, you know that. I'm not one of them guys that gets off a dress. I'm not. I ain't never preached that hard in my life. If you think I have, you're a liar. But I want you to know something. When you start dressing like that, you're going to start acting like it. Good preacher, brother. See, here's what I'm trying to tell you. Is you want to really get eat up with worry, you start having the world's philosophy. You start acting like the world. Hey, I wonder how many, let me ask y'all this. Wonder how many of our church people who don't have underlining situation now, I ain't talking about that, would be in church if they wouldn't be listening to what the world says about this pandemic. Man, I'm 69. They say I'm in that bad area. I'm just trying to take care of myself. I try to wash myself. I try to wash my hands. Man, I've washed them so much I done tore the skin off of them. But hey, listen to me. We can't let the media and the world and a bunch of politicians that's on their way to hell dictate how we're going to live. You said, what do you suggest do? Buy a mask and get to church. Boys, y'all ought to be shutting it down. You're here. Now let me give you today's message and I'm done. Number four, look at verse 33. And I'm going to examine this most of the service. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Number four. Look, let me read it. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Number four. How many of you like to be worry-free? Anxiety-free? How many like to dump a lot of them drugs you're having to take to keep yourself afloat? And I'm not talking about a chemical imbalance. You know that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about a bunch of Christians that have had to have pills to get up on and go to bed on. And that's a bad way to have to live. When all you got to do is devote yourself to God's will. Now let me give you three things under this. But seek ye what? Seek ye what? That's our priority. Let me ask you something. I just want to ask this. How many of you got baggage right now? Because you didn't seek God's will first. We had a preacher raise his hand. But all of us ought to raise our hand. Amen. Let me start out with the beginning of everything. You ought to seek first the kingdom of God when you're choosing a spouse. I mean, let's just be honest with you. You know why there's so much mess up in our marriage? Because we didn't seek God first in the first time. Come on now, somebody help me preach. I mean, what we look at, we always look at the outward. And everybody can't be as lucky as Marguerite. I know that. She even dresses like me. Look at her back there. Listen to me. I believe a lot of our anxiety has came because we didn't seek God first. When we took that loan out that put us into bondage, did we seek him first? When we enlisted five different credit cards and we got them up to the max, did we ask him first? One of the funniest things and saddest things I've ever seen happened in my office 4 years ago. A fellow come in my office wanting counsel. Okay? That's normal. Go to your preacher. Hopefully he says follow the Bible. So this guy comes in, and here's what he did, Brother Greg. He said, I couldn't believe it. He said about $325,000 on my house. You know, okay. I said, what's your house payment? He said, what, $1,800 a month or something with the insurance and everything? That's a lot of money. Then he said, I owe $135,000 on 5 credit cards. I said, well, how you do that? Then he said, I have 3 cars that's up to the max. He said, what should I do? I thought to myself, hang yourself. I'm like, no. 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 You ever laugh at yourself? No. Well, I said, here's what I said with tears coming down my eyes. I said, when you started all this mess, did you ask God for permission to do any of that? And he said, I didn't ask him for one thing. Hey, when you look at a spouse, when you're going, well, hey, you young people, you better take serious what I'm talking about today. You better take serious who you're going to marry. It's your life choice. And it's got to be devoted to the will of God. It ought to be your priority. Amen. You could ask the deacons this. I'm, what is it called, OCD? Yeah, that's me. I'm OCD about something. I'm going to tell you what it is. Now, I am. It ain't too bad. You tell them. I don't like this church ever being in a bunch of debt. I don't want to be in bondage. I want us to be free to do evangelistic work and mission work and invest our time in young preachers, yet still go forward in our ministry. Along with the deacon's help and our prayer, that building was paid off in 22 months. That land over there, $1,000,003, was paid off in 44 months. You say, why? Because we sought God. We asked God's will. And we're not going to do anything outside His will. And if you're in the will of God, He'll take care of all of it. That ought to be our priority. Number two. I'm trying. Number two. Look at the verse. Because this is where I'm dwelling at today. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. Notice this. And His righteousness. Not only our priority, our passion. I know Judy O'Brien's listening. Hi, Judy. She probably listened. Her husband had a nickname. George O'Brien had a nickname. I preached a sermon here on a sermon Bob Jones Sr. preached years ago on do right. And her husband was what I call Mr. Do Right. How many remember that? You know what the word righteous means? Right living. Right thinking. Right manners. Amen. Am I preaching?
Amen.
How many believe if we sell ourselves the godliness and the righteousness of God, how many believe things will be a lot different? How many believe that instead of living a life of defeat and anxiety and worry, we'd be lifted up by the grace of God? Then, I want all y'all look. I may finish here. Let's do this. How many got your Bibles? Wait and met me again. I don't think you'll throw too much molecules out by doing this. Let's read it together. And I'm going to stop, and I want you to stop when I stop. Ready? 6:33. Now you stop where I stop. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's our priority. And His righteousness. That's our passion. Now notice. And all these things shall be added unto you. That's the provision. How many believe that? That's very simplistic. But how many believe it'll work? If I seek Him first for what I wear, for what I eat, for my necessities, and I do right, you know what He said? I'll give you all of it. How many would like to have all of it? You know what God said? The older ought to be lying with people this morning saying, you know, I failed at that. Seek you first. Is He first? Is He number one? Do you wake up and have prayer and Bible study in the morning? Do you call on His name? Do you ask Him for direction and you trust Him? And with all your heart and with all your understanding, you acknowledge Him in all your ways. Do you do that? You say, yeah. Then you don't have to ever worry about one provision.
Amen.
Boy, it's quiet in here. You want what's right for your family, Brother Tyler? Miss Tara? All you got to do is one thing. Seek first. You two will get married here in about 2 weeks or less. I'm going to tell you both right there, sitting right there. And by the way, I'm glad God's providence took you to Florida and got you back safely and bought you a woman. But I want to tell you something, son. If your life is going to be successful, it'll be because you seek God first. And the last point I want to spend, you just do it the right way. It says, verse 34, take therefore no thought for tomorrow. Reject anxiety for the future. Listen to this. For the morrow shall take care thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Hey, Richard Bryan, I've got people in my church. They came to church this morning, listened by way of live stream, is worrying about what's going to happen 2 weeks from now. And we ought to take care of what's happening right now. And you said, how can I take care of what's happening now? Put Him first!
Amen.
Bow your head with me. His bow, eyes closed. Folks are praying at the altar. Seeking God. You ought to just come if you have an urge that you ought to pray. You ought to be up here without even me asking. How many of you know for sure you're saved? Raise your hand. Hold them high. Folks are coming. How many not sure you're saved? If you're not sure you're saved, if you die today not sure you're saved, will you raise your hand now and say, preacher, I need to be saved. Pray for me. Now here's... there's a bunch of folks already to the altar. How many right now, I want you to stand, will come up around this altar and say to God, from right now, from today, I can't do what? Nothing about yesterday, but today, I'm going to seek you first. Our Father, thank you for your good word. Bless our people. Help them. God, to grasp hold of what I preach this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. All of the house, come on.